Of my rush. We're going to say more about Mother's Day in the service. But all of you, I was going to say, if you wouldn't be here if it weren't for your mother, and that's a lot of truth to that. But motherhood is a sacrificial position. It's a service position. And my mother's been in heaven now for 5 years. And if there's one thing my mother was, she was a servant. She was a servant. And boy, I'm so grateful for a godly mother, a godly wife. The two women in my life that have had great influence and help are both women that know how to pray, love the Word of God, and have supported me throughout the years. And I am blessed. And hopefully you'll have a good day today. And we always grill steaks, and my wife doesn't have to cook. And no, there's no extra, so don't even bother coming by. Now, I turned the air on, but it doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot. Well, it says it's 69. If you're hot, it's 69, so feel better about it, okay? If I were to ask you this morning, the most difficult book in the New Testament, probably most of you would answer the book of Revelation. Now, I know there are other passages of Scripture and other books. I think of Hebrews. There are some very difficult verses in the book of Hebrews also, but I think as a whole, we struggle with the book of Revelation. And yet it is crucial that you understand the book of Revelation for several reasons. One, it's part of the canon of Scripture, all right? If it's in this book, then according to 2 Timothy 3, it is profitable. So this book is profitable, no doubt about it. Secondly, and you're in Revelation, I'm not. I'm in Romans. Don't know why, but I'll find Revelation. And chapter 1, and look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein for the times at hand." There is a special blessing on the life of those who understand and read the book of Revelation. Dr. Bob Jr.'s wife read that, and she said, "You know what? If there's a special blessing for those who read it, then I'm going to memorize it." Can you imagine memorizing the book of Revelation? She did it because she wanted God's blessing on her life. But thirdly, it is crucial that we understand the book of Revelation, because if you understand the book of Revelation properly, you will have a right view of things to come. It will keep you from all kinds of errors doctrinally and errors eschatologically. If you're thinking about the future, if you understand this book, it's going to clear it up for you immediately. And so this is really an important book. And so, by the way, also, it is probably the greatest revelation, clear revelation of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is. We'll see some of that this morning. So this morning, we're going to study the book of Revelation, the whole book. All 22 chapters. Now, obviously, there's no way that we can go through every verse. Now, we were flying back from Florida on Monday, and I had the window seat, and so I was able to look out and see the landscape go by, and if there had been no clouds, and I had looked out the window for an hour and a half, I could have seen 800 miles of terrain all the way from Florida to Asheville, North Carolina. Now, I wouldn't be able to tell you every detail, but I could give you the high points. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Okay, so I've given you a handout for a reason. Some of you take notes, and there's no way you can take notes this morning, so you've got a handout, and you can just follow along with that handout, and that'll be a help to you. But what I want you to do this morning is go away with an understanding of the general nature and flow of Revelation. And again, if you will do that, I was talking to Doug couple weeks ago, and he was talking about a friend of his, or a man that he'd worked with, who had gone into a new position, kind of a pre-wrath idea about the tribulation, which, I'll be honest with you, I don't think is biblical, and the reason I don't is because of the book of Revelation and the clear teachings of the book. So, we're going to get on our jet here, and we're going to fly through Revelation. Now, the key to understanding the book of Revelation is the outline, all right? So, I'm going to help you with that. Because the outline is real simple. You've got it. You've got the whole outline, but it's real simple, and it's found in verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. If you get this, you'll understand the book of Revelation, okay? At least a lot of it. Revelation 1:19, write the things, listen, number one, which thou hast seen. Okay? That's what John's going to do. He's going to give us the things that he has seen in chapter 1. Then he said, write the things which are, that's the second main point, the things which were going on right then. And then finally, the things which shall be hereafter. That's the third. So there's the layout of the book. Things that he had seen. No cups? Okay, we'll take care of that. Thank you, David. You're a lot of help. That's good. So we're going to look at the things he had seen, the things that were, and the things that are going to be. Now, if you understand the book, chapter 1, the things he had seen. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, the things which are in his time. Chapter 4 through 22, the things that will be. All right, that's the outline. Now, if you understand that, it's going to help you a bunch. How many got the outline? All right, good, good. We're headed the right direction. All right, so number one, the things that he had seen, his first vision, chapter 1, there's a 3-verse introduction, and then there's a salutation in verse 4 through 8. Let me read that. You should be in Revelation 1 by now. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Now, what do you know about those churches? These are actual churches. We're going to see more about that in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Boy, look at the doctrine, the revelation of God right there in that verse. And from the 7 spirits are upon the throne and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. There's the resurrection, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from the sins. And there's the gospel right there. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Goodness gracious. Let me just stop and say, hallelujah. What a revelation of God. Wow. And that's the introduction. There's the salutation right there. And he has this vision in verse 9 through 12. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But he moves through the churches. And as he does, he sees 7 lampstands, which are 7 what? Churches. And that makes sense, doesn't it? They're a light. And they have 7 stars. And those 7 stars are the 7 pastors. That all makes sense, doesn't it? So he sees us as he moves through. So there's the things he had seen. See how we're moving fast. Number 2, the things that are. Now in chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's a message to the 7 churches. I'm going to run through these really quickly. The church at Ephesus. By the way, if we have a problem at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, it will be the problem of the church of Ephesus. They were a great church. They worked. They were hard at work. They didn't put up with any sin or anything else. I mean, they were a great church, but something was wrong. What was it? They had left their first love. You know, it's possible to serve the Lord and not really love the Lord. Yeah. So, here's the church at Ephesus. Church at Smyrna was the persecuted church, and it's very interesting. What do you find about the church that is being persecuted? It will always be a pure church. Who wants to be a part of a church that's being persecuted? That's having trouble. Believers. Yeah. The church at Pergamos, this is the worldly church, and I'll be honest with you, probably the majority of churches in the world today would fall in this category. They are no longer trying to change the world, they are allowing the world to change them. And their whole question is, what do people like? If they like it, we'll do it. Folks, that's not a Bible church. I went to the bank this morning to grab some cash, and I drove by a new church in the area. And I know what they're like. I looked online. It's all contemporary. It's no separation. It's all worldly because we want you to come in and feel comfortable. Let me just be honest with you. If you're lost, if you're not a Christian, you go to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, you're not going to feel real comfortable. You're not. You're going to feel uncomfortable until you get right with God. And by the way, if you can come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church Sunday after Sunday and you're living in sin and it doesn't bother you, we got a problem. Boy, I'm not going to make it through Revelation if I keep this up. I can't preach about every church. Thyatira, this is the church that tolerated sin. There was a woman, Jezebel-like woman, and they wouldn't purify the church. Sardis is the dead church. Oh, there's a lot of those today too. Church at Philadelphia with a faithful missionary church. Great church. God opened a door and they'd gone through it. The church of Laodicea, apostate, unsaved, liberal church. A lot of those today too. Now, these churches existed in John's day. They also exist today, not in that name necessarily, but in that type. And we've already kind of mentioned that. Now, it's very interesting. You come to the end of chapter 3, and you find the last mention of the word church in the book of Revelation until Revelation chapter 22. Now, this is important, okay? Are you with me? Snyder? All right. You're here. I'd like a little more than that. So here we are, and the church has been talked about in chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 1 even. Chapter 4, guess what? Chapter 5 through 19, 20, 21, guess what? No church. No church. And you come to chapter 4, and John says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And John is taken up for a view of heaven, and there's an event that's going to happen to the church right here. What is it? The rapture of the church. The church is taken out. Those, by the way, when I talk about church, I'm talking about people who've received Christ. People who have seen that they are sinners, and they deserve to go to a place called hell. And somebody came one day and told them about Jesus Christ. How Jesus died for them to pay for their sin. And they received Christ. Do you remember when you received Christ? Have you received Christ? If you did, you are the church. And the church will be raptured out. None of the events in chapter 4 through 19 will you experience. You won't. You will not be there. And we're going to see what we're going talking about. You'll be saying, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm not there. So the church is taken out, and we see this great scene in heaven, and there's a permanent throne in heaven, and there's this throne made up of jasper and sardine and a rainbow round about the throne. You know what? Those are all pictures of God. That jasper stone was clear, showing the perfection of God. The sardine is red, blood red. Redemption. And then we've even talked about this the other day in church when we talked about the faithfulness of God. The rainbow, a round rainbow, all around the throne, all for eternity. God is faithful. And I tell you what, folks, when you see who God is, what are you going to do? Same thing the angels did here. And they bowed down and they worshiped God and they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then the church, the 24 elders, the church joins in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Wow, what a scene in heaven. Boy, we're going to be part of that if you're a believer. You're going to be part of that, folks. You're going to be part of it. It's going to be wonderful. And you're going to be around the throne of God, worshiping Him and praising Him for all. Hey, you know what? It wouldn't hurt to get a little bit of practice. It wouldn't hurt to get a little bit of practice. Believers, we ought to be people who praise and worship God and thank God for who He is. What a chapter, chapter 4. And then we come to chapter 5, and something's wrong. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. A scroll with seven seals. This is the seal of redemption of this world. What's wrong with the world today? One word. Well, you can give me two if you want to. Sin and starts with an S, capital S, and then an A and a T. Very good, very good. That was subtle hints and you got it. Satan, all right. Yeah, that's what's wrong with the world today, sin and Satan. Okay? This world needs to be redeemed. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be brought back to its original state. And this is what this is. This is the deed to this world, and it has six different or seven different seals on it. But here's the problem. They look around heaven, and what do they find? Nobody's worthy to open the seals. Nobody's worthy to redeem mankind and to redeem this world. Nobody's worthy. And there is weeping, and they are in all kinds of terrible shape. And then suddenly what happens? Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords. He steps on the throne and he said, I am worthy to redeem. And they all agree and they say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Wow, what a passage. And so from this point on, folks, as we go through this book, these seals are going to be opened. All the way through chapter 19, they're going to begin to open these seals one by one as the world is redeemed. What do we call this event? The tribulation. The tribulation. Now, I want to remind you, if you're a believer, you'll never see this. You won't experience it. Aren't you glad? Boy, oh, if you're not a child of God and you don't get saved before this happens, you're going to go right through this thing. And he begins to open these seals, and God begins to do a work of redeeming this world. And folks, these seals in chapter 6, we start seeing them. And I'm going to run through these. There's a white horse. This is a false peace that is energized by the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation, and he comes to rule in peace. And you know how he gets to be the ruler? He has the answer for what? All the economic problems. Can you see that happening? If somebody came on the scene today and running for president, said, I can solve every economic problem in the United States and in the world, what would happen to him? If he could prove it, he or they'd be elected, boom, just like that. And the Antichrist comes on the scene, and the person is white horse. There's a red horse, which is the war. There's the removal of peace. A black horse, which is famine. A pale horse, which is death. In their fifth seal is the martyred saints crying out to God to finish the work. The sixth seal is an earthquake. The sun is black. The moon turns red like blood. The stars fall. The heavens depart. The mountains and the islands are removed. Can you imagine all that, folks? Whew, wow. And then in chapter number 7, we have a brief parenthesis. There are three or four of these throughout the book. And it's almost like God says, you know, I know you guys can only take so much. And he takes a break in chapter 7 to talk about 144,000 Jewish virgin evangelists. When do they show up? During the tribulation. Are we in the tribulation now? So we got a problem with these folks running around door to door saying we're part of 144,000. They're not. They're not Jewish. Probably most of them. And they're in the wrong time. God sends these 144,000, 12 out of every tribe, and they become evangelists, and they begin to evangelize in this world. And there's great, great revival, and multitudes of people are saved. My, what a time that's going to be. Right in the middle of tribulation, by the way, I believe, and I know there's debate about this, there are many that believe if you have heard the gospel and rejected Christ, that once the tribulation begins and you go into it, that because of the hardness of your heart, you will reject Christ, even then. So don't say, well, look, Gary, I'm going to wait till the tribulation. Then I'll get saved. You know, that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Receive Christ now. If you're not saved, boy, get saved now. So we've got these seals that are being opened. The seventh seal is open in chapter 8 and verse 1. And it is so bad, there's silence in heaven for half an hour. Can you imagine? Listen to these things, folks. Now, when they open the seventh seal, okay, you with me? Randy, we got this scroll, all right? Seven seals. We're opening it up. These events happen. They open the seventh seal, and now we have seven trumpets. Does that make sense, Josh? Good, good. Seven trumpets. And these are also, this is more of the tribulation. Listen to all these things that are going to happen when the trumpets now are open, or when they sound. The first trumpet, hail and fire mingled with blood. Can you imagine? A third of all vegetation will be destroyed. The second trumpet, great mountain burning with fire, cast in the sea. Third of the sea turns to blood. Third of all creatures in the water destroyed. The third trumpet, burning star falls from heaven. Third of the fresh water is destroyed. People drink it and they die. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun is smitten. The angels are saying, woe, woe, woe. It's going to get worse. The fifth trumpet, Lucifer goes and releases all the demons that are locked in the bottomless pit. And they come out to persecute the people. And the Bible says they have tails like scorpions. And they go around for 5 months stinging people. And boy, can you imagine all this? Whew. The sixth trumpet sounds. An army of 200 million is released. Fire and brimstone come out of their mouth. And a third of the population of the world is killed. And you know what all the people do? Do they repent? They rebel against God. Now, we come to chapter 10 and chapter 11, another parenthesis, okay? We've just opened the seals. We've opened the trumpets. We've heard the trumpet seals, all right? All this is going on, and there's a parenthesis, and he takes the book, and he eats the book. It is sweet because it tells about the coming of Christ, but it's bitter because of all the judgments. Then there are two witnesses that come on the scene in chapter 11. During the tribulation, these men have specific powers, supernatural powers. Fire can come out of their mouth to destroy their enemies. The world hates them and kills them and celebrates over them. And they lay there for 3.5 days. And 3.5 days, God comes and resurrects them and takes them to heaven. That's a parenthesis right in the middle. But don't let that confuse you, because we're still in the middle of what event? Tribulation. Tribulation. All right, so we come back in chapter 11. The seventh trumpet sounds. Look there in 11:15. 11:15. Hope no one's getting air sick here. You doing okay? All right. Good. 11:15. You got it? And the seventh angel sounded. There was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And God is beginning to work. And the seventh trumpet sounds. And there are seven vials, which we're going to see. So we had seven what? First, seven what?
Seals.
And we had seven trumpets. Now we're going to have seven vials or bowls. Okay? We're going to see those in a minute. But there's some miscellaneous details in chapter 12, 15 through 15. But again, remember, we're right in the middle of the tribulation, and we see some battling going on. We see Satan against Israel trying to destroy Christ, but of course that didn't happen. These spiritual events that have occurred, Satan versus the angels. And, of course, God is already defeated at the cross, but there's going to be a final destruction. In chapter 13, the Antichrist is introduced, already mentioned to him, to you. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to come as a man of peace. And the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. The worship will be restored. But after 3.5 years, he desecrates the temple. He begins to persecute the Jews. The great tribulation is underway. Suffering, trouble, difficulty. Oh my, folks, terrible, terrible times. And now we finally get in chapter 15 and 16 to the bowl or the vile judgments. Listen to this, folks. The first bowl, terrible sores on all those with the mark of the beast. The second bowl, I'm skipping some. Catch up with me there, okay? I've got 8 minutes to get through the book of Revelation, all right? The second bowl, all the seas turn to blood, everything in the seas die. Can you imagine? The third bowl, all the fresh water turns to blood. The fourth bowl, the sun gets hotter, burns men. They continue to curse God. The fifth bowl, terrible darkness. The sixth bowl, the Euphrates River dries up so the kings of the east can come to battle. The seventh bowl, great voices. Islands are moved, mountains are gone. Now listen to this, folks. 100-pound hailstones. Can you imagine that? We talk about quarter size, golf ball size. You know, I don't know how big one would be, the 100 pounds. Can you imagine? Crashing down from heaven. Again, if you're not a child of God and you don't receive Christ, you're going to go through this. But hallelujah, if you're a child of God, you're not going to experience this tribulation. You're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in heaven all during this tribulation time. So we move on quickly, and we see the destruction in chapter 17 and 18 of religion and the economy during the great tribulation. And I already mentioned this, the harlot and the Antichrist, the false church and the Antichrist are okay for 3.5 years. But then the Antichrist takes over and begins to rule, and he devours the harlot in the second half of the tribulation. The economy is destroyed. You remember that passage, Babylon has fallen, old Babylon. What is that? That's the economy, the world's economy. It's all gone. Folks, here's what it is. Turn out the lights on earth, the party's over. That day's coming. That day's coming. And we're getting toward the end of the tribulation, folks. And God is redeeming this world. He is working through Jesus Christ to bring it back to its original state. And we find in chapter 19 the last parenthesis. You know what? You know what they're saying in the world? Woe, woe, woe. You know what they're saying in heaven? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember when Preacher Lastly preached a message on this, had the four hallelujahs. The party's over in the earth, folks, but there's a party in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Christ returns in glory. Armageddon takes place. And there's confusion among a lot of people. When does Armageddon take place? At the end of the tribulation. End of the tribulation. But that's not the end. After Armageddon, he comes in and he sets up the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which we call the millennium. So the millennium takes place. Christ rules and reigns. And as you know, Preacher Lastly is already going to be the mayor of Gray. He's already got that spoken for. And he's going to rule. So we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Be a perfect reign of Christ, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. But here's the amazing thing. At the end of 1,000-year reign of Christ, a perfect time, a perfect rule, Satan is loosed, and he gets all the folks together, and they continue to rebel against God, even though they were in a perfect environment. They rebel against God, and they come, and there's the great battle, not Armageddon. That's before. That's after the tribulation, 1,000-year reign of Christ. What's the next and last battle of all time? What's it called? The battle of Gog and Magog. And they all rise up against Jesus Christ, and he speaks, and they're done. And God, Jesus Christ, begin to reign. Look to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 and 4. And we have a new heaven and a new earth that has come, and it is set up, the new Jerusalem. And I heard a voice, verse 3, a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh my. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, who's going to be there? Who's going to be there? The New Jerusalem. Every saint of God. Every person who's received Christ. You'll be there. You'll be there. You'll be in the New Jerusalem. And what a time that's going to be. And for all eternity, no sickness, no death, no sorrow. None of the stuff that plague us in this world, it's all gone. Because 6 through 19 was the tribulation. The world was redeemed. God cleaned it up. Brought down the New Jerusalem, this incredible city, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Amazing. Gates of pearl. Can you imagine? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. But you know the most important thing about it? God is there. God is in the midst of his people. If you're a child of God, you're going to heaven someday. You're going to be there. You're going to be in the new Jerusalem for all eternity. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, well, look at me. I'm somebody. Right? Not one person can do that. By the way, if you get to heaven by doing good things and by doing good works, there'll be a lot of people say that. But you don't. You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. And for all eternity, for all eternity, we're going to be around the throne of God, praising and worshiping him. Wow. Won't that be something? You talk about a worship service. Folks, there's a worship service. And what does Christ want for you to do? Look in chapter 22 and verse 17. Here's the final invitation. And he says, 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him hear us say, come. Let him that is thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And he's calling people to heaven. And I love John's response. What does he say in verse 20? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, let me give some concluding remarks, okay? You've done well, all right? We're coming in for landing. Number one, what a great God. I wish that we had the time, and we may do this in the future, to go through and study all those passages that reveal who God is and who Jesus Christ is. A God who is holy and righteous and just, and yet a God who's love and merciful and gracious. What a great God we serve. Number two, what a great future you have as a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you are downtrodden and you are discouraged and you are depressed, get over it. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You're headed for heaven. You're going to be somewhere for eternity where there's no more sin or sorrow or separation or any of the things that we struggle with. And you're going to worship the Lord for all eternity. Wow. Truly, the best is yet to come. Wow, we ought to be encouraged in the Lord. Thirdly, third thing here in conclusion. Let me just encourage you folks. It may be bleak now. But believer, man, it's going to be good. I still got my fork on my desk. You know what that means, don't you? Mama says, keep your fork at the end of the meal. Hallelujah, dessert's coming. You know that, don't you? Now, there were times I used a spoon. Ice cream. Oh, man, it's good. But I tell you what, folks, believer, the best is yet to come. Oh, keep your fork. Hang on to it. Get yourself a fork. Put it on your desk. Every time you get discouraged, look at that fork. That doesn't mean you're going to go out to eat. It means there's going to be a day when God cleans it all up. In the tribulation, it's all cleaned up. It's all taken care of. And if you're a believer, you're going to heaven. If you're not, you can become a believer today. And you can assure you'll never go through the tribulation. And that you'll be in heaven for eternity. My mom's been in heaven for 5 years. Boy, we miss her. We miss her. But I tell you, one day, the Lord's going to come back. The next event on the Lord's calendar, he's going to come back. And I'm going to meet my mom in the air. And I'm going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. And it's just going to be a wonderful time of praising God for all eternity. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. Now, have you got it? Now, if you, and I've given you these notes so you can study some more, but if you will get this straight, you read the book of Revelation and you'll say, oh, chapter 4, church is taken out. Chapter 6, 19, tribulation, I'm not here. Hallelujah. After that, you got the Armageddon, the thousand-year reign, Gog and Magog, eternal kingdom. Hope you got that. Did you get that? That's good. That's how I would respond to. Good answer. Good. Lord, we thank you that you're a great God and that you're in control of all things. And oh my, what a time it's going to be when you wrap it all up and we get to see you in heaven and worship you for all eternity in the New Jerusalem, worshiping and praising God and the Lamb. Oh my, what a time it's going to be. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you today and thank you. And Lord, again, I don't know everyone who's here today. If there's one here today who's not sure of heaven, I pray that before they leave these grounds, they would receive Christ. And for those that are children of God, oh Lord, help us to understand the revelation. Help us to understand your plan and to rejoice in it and to rest in it. And to do all we can to get anybody else there in that place, the New Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Folks, we couldn't find any more cups. You folks that are